Yo, you know the vibes, man. Gemini Scorpio podcast episode, where we at?
81.
You've been cheating, but it's cool.
How I've been cheating? Nobody's telling me anything.
It's cool. Episode 81. We're going to build a Gemini Scorpio podcast. What's your name?
She's Sade.
We want to just walk around. What if people just walked around calling you your Instagram name all day?
She.
Hey, she's Sade.
And she is.
What's your name, man?
Sade.
Sade is in the building. Jay Hill, I'm in the building. That's actually my name. Yeah, it's my daughter's name too.
It is.
Yeah, so Jay Hill, I'm here. Sade, she's here. Gemini Scorpio podcast, episode 081. Look at us now. We consistent. It's our third episode back.
Yes.
How you feeling?
Consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Consistent is the vibe.
It's not easy.
It's not.
People don't talk about that side.
Yeah, facts.
It's like, just be consistent. Just be consistent. Not that. Consistency is hard as hell.
Nah, facts. I like your glasses.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's nighttime. I can't put them on right now.
You can't put them on?
Mm-mm. You know, that was for earlier.
People be wearing glasses in the nighttime.
I don't know why.
Yeah, man. This is like, it's kind of nostalgic because I guess 40 episodes prior, right? We were in Maryland.
Right.
Episode 40. We was, mm-hmm. It was COVID times. We was mm-hmm. like really getting in the swing of things on episode 40. I feel like you're like a veteran podcaster now at this point.
I am a veteran podcaster.
Yeah,
I took a hiatus, but I'm definitely a veteran podcaster.
How you feel? Like, do you feel like, I mean, of course, just watching podcasts grow over these past couple years, do you feel like you kind of dropped the ball a little bit, or you wish that you would have kept going?
For sure. I'm not even going to lie about that. Like, I definitely feel like I sat out at the wrong time.
Mm.
Because we really had a very hot streak going, and it was getting crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, as soon as it got hot, like, you know what I'm saying? I kind of sat down.
Things happen.
But we still had a great run. It's just that it wasn't the time to stop, you know? And I feel like, truthfully, I feel like when we started, that's when that was before podcast is what podcast is even now. We didn't invent podcasts or anything like that, but there was far less podcasts. Like, I mean, by a long slide. When we were going at such a heavy pace, like, there was nearly not as many podcasts. Now I feel like there's so many that it almost does and can feel saturated a little bit. However, you know, some people just got that shit you can't teach.
No,
you know,
thanks.
So it is what it is. But yeah, definitely. Sometimes I look back on it, I'm like, damn, niggas would have just kept doing what we're doing.
But we still got time, baby.
Yeah, it ain't no rush. It ain't no pressure.
Even still, like, think about it. To be 80 episodes in with a podcast in general, that means like we still. I was just telling Kyron and Dylan. Oh yeah, shout out to the gang. They here. Yeah. Kyron here. Dylan here. My guy Aaron is here. A Rod. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's in the building.
Okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. But just to have 80 episodes in general, we have people that really support us.
Mm-hmm.
I was just telling Kyron and Dylan that, like, we can drop an episode just audio and still do pretty well. And I'm like,
yeah, true.
That's really, like, that's something that I'm really proud of when it comes to our podcast, because it's so hard to like to build an audio following. Mm-hmm. It's so hard.
And I think people just, you know, people see people YouTube numbers and they be like, oh my God. And they don't even understand, like, even some, like, 100 views is a lot of views.
Mm.
I remember one time I got 100 views. I was like, eh. But, like, to get 100 people to watch something, let alone migrate, that's impact. You know what I mean? And we're past that, obviously. But, like, I just remember when we started, when we was like, when we get 100 views.
Yep.
Then it was, let's get to 250. Yeah, it was like 250. Like, then it was like 5. Then it was like, all we got to do is get to 1,000. Then it went to 1,000, let's get to 2,000, you know? And it's just like, people don't understand how much impact that is to get even that many people to migrate from a platform to another platform to watch you, to hear you. You know what I mean? It's not easy. It's really not easy.
So it's definitely a blessing, man. But I'm glad we was able to build it together.
Yeah, for sure.
Right, because, like, definitely.
It was awesome. It was a great time, honestly.
Yeah.
It's still a great time. And it's more to come. And, you know, for those who watched our journey over since episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all of that, it's crazy because we could go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way up to 80.
Yo, look how it look now compared to our first. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was
crazy. It's crazy because even then, like,
We still had some type of standard.
Yeah, it's yeah. As wild as
and it was getting crazy. It was getting so good even then. Like we was one of the ones with the three angles. Like everybody didn't start out doing no three angles. Yeah. Like, you know, we was on three angles. I remember you was like, no, we need more than one angle. We need the two angle, then went to the four angle. It was in the middle shot. It was getting crazy.
Nah, so facts.
Lighting, everything. So it's a blessing. Yeah, you know, I don't feel like no rookie podcaster, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, you also are.
And then also, I'm not like a timid podcaster either. Like, I think, like, this is what I, you know, this is what we do. Like, this is what we came in doing. Like, so it's not like, it doesn't feel odd.
Yeah. We like, awkward. Just speaking of, like, just, of course, growing a podcast, being consistent at things. I think we're like a month and a half in now. Alani.
I know. Yeah. Choo-choo.
Talk to me. You know, we always hear about, we talked about pregnancy a little bit, two episodes ago.
Two episodes ago.
But I don't think we talked about like postpartum. And I know at one point you were saying like, you don't really do postpartum with depression, but you was also saying like different parts of postpartum people want to talk about.
Right. Well, like, I don't feel like I've encountered postpartum depression, but I think there's like a confusion because every time I hear people like talk about postpartum, it's always attached to depression. So they're like, I'm going through postpartum depression. But postpartum is already a period after pregnancy, like after you deliver, right? I believe it's up to 12 weeks. That's your postpartum stage, considered fourth trimester newborn stage, right? But I think there's already a level of hormonal balancing that's going on inside of that postpartum stage where your hormones are kind of trying to get back to normal. Your body's healing and getting back to normal. And your hormones are also adjusting to your baby, especially if you're like breastfeeding. And then, and it comes with certain levels of moods and, you know, things like that. But I think because people, the moods are heightened a lot of times, they automatically say it's postpartum depression. It's weird. Like, every time I heard about postpartum, like, and it's crazy because obviously I had my first child at 18, so a lot of these terms and things like that wasn't as popular towards me or things that I was speaking on back then because I just wasn't as familiar with them. But as being a grown adult, like, every time I heard of, I never heard postpartum by itself. It was like, I always hear postpartum depression. And I think many women do go through postpartum depression, but I think also many women are also just going through postpartum. Like, you know what I mean? And it's not a, it's not minimizing it or belittling it. It's just more so giving grace to it. Like, it doesn't have to be depression because it's postpartum, if that makes sense. It's just your healing period, and healing looks many different ways, basically. So I personally, I don't identify with postpartum depression. I don't feel like I've identified any traits of that sort, but I am going through postpartum. Which comes with like a, like we've talked before, like a lack of sleep, you know, probably eating habits a little all over the place, you know, things don't get done all the time, but I'm also giving myself time to get in the swing of things and grow my baby and get back to normal without putting so much pressure on myself and give myself a lot of grace through that period. So,
you know what I thought was interesting about the, the start of the postpartum journey for you, you were saying that, you know, usually women, they have their baby to get back in the gym. And you, like, you wanted to wait 6 weeks
first. My full
first.
6 weeks.
Yeah, to just rest.
Yeah, I just, I didn't want to force myself. Like, I, especially because, like, the gym has always been somewhat of a part of a lifestyle for me. Like, I either I had a trainer or I would go to the gym. Like, I never was too far off. I might sit out a little bit, but I'm always back in the gym. And I felt like I really, like, I wasn't rushing. Like, I'm not rushing to nothing. Like, you know what I'm saying? I want to enjoy my baby and give myself healing time, you know, because realistically, I did feel very weak, like, at the start of...
Yo, but...
Yeah, because, like...
Man, I went through a lot, though.
Yeah.
Yo, the whole, like...
Yeah, my whole labor process...
A week?
Yeah.
Bro, that was...
Really that labor process was brutal. Bro, like,
I don't even know. I don't know if anybody else... I don't know nobody that went through that. Because we went on Sunday.
Yeah.
They induced us, right? Then we left because we was in there for like 16 hours.
Yeah, they didn't have no room for us.
Just to go back.
Yeah, and they still didn't have any room for us. So it basically delayed induction, like continuously inducing us and delaying it.
And then you was in labor for like...
And then I was in labor for 3 days. Yeah. Actual active labor, bro, for 3 days in the hospital. Bro. It was exhausting. It was a lot. And I think that's a lot of reason why I chose to like I'm not rushing to the gym. I want my body to rest and then give myself all the grace that I need to just rest and let my body just do it. Because I felt like my body underwent... underwent. My body... went through a lot of things. Yeah. And, you know, even things that I wasn't even prepared for. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was the first time I think I've ever even heard of postpartum. Not postpartum. When I went into the chills.
Yeah.
Yo, I've never heard anything like that. But I, like, literally was in labor and I was busting out into, like, I was freezing. And I was, like, shivering, like, teeth chattering. Like, I couldn't control it. Like, it was just so much that was going on. I just remember looking at Jay, I felt so defeated. And I think because of all of my body was experiencing, like, my fever went up to, like, 104. Mm. My blood pressure went up. It was a scary space to be.
Remember, and then, it was crazy. Yeah. Like, that whole experience was crazy. Like,
yeah, it was.
Bro.
It was.
And I couldn't even think.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, I just being honest, I don't know. You was coming to me about this, but like just being real, like I couldn't even imagine you had like people been
going through that alone
by yourself, yeah. Or just not just what me without yeah. like just me not being there. Like mm-hmm. I like we see this whole thing with Blueface and Krishan Rock, mm-hmm. and I feel like I don't know. I just feel like I could not be there for your pregnancy. That's type crazy.
Yeah, and I think it's just important to have somebody there who's advocating for you.
Dylan, can you, or Aaron, can one of y'all get the door for Los? My God, Los is in the building from Baltimore. But
oh, that's dope.
Go ahead.
I remember this.
You remember Los?
Yeah, I think so. He used to do your, like, flyers or something, like, yep. or pictures or something.
And he's doing a lot of great stuff with Jess now, so.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah. He's just right here, though. Yeah, so, but, yo, I could not imagine. What do you think about that, though, the whole Blueface not being there? I feel like that whole shit is crazy anyway.
The whole thing is crazy. I think that, I think you just got it. I think childbirth is such a delicate situation. And again, like, so much of this I'm relearning, like, being an adult. And I think it's so delicate to be going through labor, birth, pregnancy with, like, you just really have to pick the right person. Like, mm-hmm. you really do. You have to make sure the person really has your back. Because, like I said, like, I couldn't imagine you not being there to advocate for me. Because there was periods of time where I was so defeated that I don't think I could even ask or kind of see or figure out what was going on. Because mm-hmm. I just, like, I was tired. I was defeated. I couldn't do it. And, you know what I'm saying?
They hated me, too.
Yeah. Because you were asking questions. You were on top of it. Right. Like, what's that? What's going on? Why is that? No, I'll move this. Like, you know, and they probably were annoyed, but you need people to advocate for you, especially Black women specifically.
No, when, facts.
You know, so much of our health is at risk in hospitals. You know what I mean? And it's sad because that was literally,
That was
predominantly a Black hospital, but child, I that's a whole nother story for another day.
Can we get a man a chair, or can we like move that, or we can get him a chair from outside or something? Or we can move that stuff, whatever. Mm-hmm. My guy Los is in the building. What up, brother? How you feeling, man? Need some love, man.
How you feeling? How you?
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. I'm getting back to it. Sorry to cut you off. I don't know how. Yeah. I can't even imagine. That's what I'm saying. I can't even see you there without me. It's even crazy. If your family was there.
Yeah. Like, it. Honestly, I don't know. Like, I was telling you, like, even when I was thinking about when I had my daughter at 18, like, I was like, God himself must have been, like, giving me strength to push through that. Because I just don't even. I can't think to be in that space without you there, because it's like, what do you do? Like, you know, you're somebody who really understands what's going on, to advocate, who's been there through the whole pregnancy to know what's going on, this, that, and third, et cetera. So it was a lot. It was a lot.
And even like just think about the Blueface and Krishan shit. I feel like, it's like, why is this the stuff we're like condoning or promoting? I get like, I just don't understand, because it's like, it's some kids out there. I just think we got to be careful of the stuff that we're like
spreading,
right? Mm-hmm. And promoting on social media, because it's like, it's kids out there who are looking up to this thinking that that's cool.
But to be honest, Jay, like, a lot of what Fish on a blue face is going through is very common. Mm. Like, to be honest, it's not like it's things that you don't see in the hood every day.
Maybe you're right. Like,
this ain't the first deadbeat baby daddy story. There, you know, bash your baby mother, girl having baby by a man who don't want it. This is not the first story of this. So what it is I agree with you, like the spreading of it. And, you know, that's just the blogs being nasty. And, you know, that's what they do.
But outside of the blogs, just even like for, as a man, right? Mm-hmm. I don't see me, like, it's just a bunch of corny shit. I'm going to just keep it all the way 100. Like,
100%.
Even like talking about putting your baby moms on Instagram, asking what a kid going to be, like in a back room type shit. Like, I feel like that's corny. Like,
it is.
Like,
it's very corny.
Even if me and my mother, my child is not doing well, mm-hmm. like, it's certain shit you just don't do as a stand-up dude. You feel me? Like, and I just feel like, I don't know, that shit be corny.
No,
like,
I definitely think it's corny. But I don't, I don't believe people are, like, on his side. I think it is what it is. You know, just a level of entertainment, unfortunately, that's being spread. But I don't think people condone it. Now, there is, like, I don't want to call them young boys, but, like, you know, Gen Zers and shit that might see that think it's, you know, cool and okay. But I also think those are the same boys who would be that way anyway, just due to the type of parenting they may have. Because I just don't see anybody who is brought up with the right upbringing doing that. You know what I'm trying to say?
Like, you know what's funny? I don't see none of my friends allowing me to do that. Like, without checking me. Now, I don't know his situation.
That means
so.
You have a great circle of friends, but a lot of, some people don't. I'm not going to say a lot. Some people don't. Like, they really just don't.
Yo, it's crazy because even, like, it's just that, the whole child thing, it's just, it's hard.
It's delicate, like, and, you know, and even watching it, you know, I feel, it's definitely sad to watch simply because a child is involved too. Like, you know what I mean? And already children are involved because Krishana's young. She's a kid.
Yeah.
Like, she's not a kid. She's grown, but that's a baby. Like, you know what I'm saying? When I even think about who I was at 21, 22, 23, I was a baby doing a lot of baby dumb shit. Mm. So it's like, it's already heartbreaking to watch somebody so young be in a situation that she has to learn the hard way through. Or even him. Like, I'm not giving him no grace or no benefit of the doubt, but I'm just giving him the young going through this dumb shit, because you're gonna look back on this and like what the fuck, like, you know, when you have whatever transition wake up call that you have through life, because we all get them, whether it be through death of close friends, close family members, or a rebirth of some kind, we all go through
not
that transformation.
Nobody,
not wishing it, but, you know, sometimes that's the only way people learn, and that's the only way God get people attention, right? When you go back and you look back on it, and it's like, damn, that's how I treat them. Like, when my kid goes back and searches the internet, this is what my kid gonna see. Me dealing with his mother, me dealing with, you know what I'm saying, him, and how I talked about him, and how I was, you know what I mean? It's just not okay. And the same thing for Krishana, but, you know.
You know, the thing I don't like about it is just being honest, because, like, even we had these conversations early on in the pregnancy, like, later on in the pregnancy, but it's so many, and I'm not to make this a woman versus man thing, but it's so many men out there who's fighting to be in their kids' lives, and women aren't allowing that, right? Like, it's so many of those situations that's out there.
Agreed.
To see somebody playing with it like that, it's like, bro, it's people who would literally die to be in the hospital with their baby mother or that child. Forget the relationship with their baby. They don't even care about that. Just to be in the presence of that kid. And, like, we've seen, like, people, just in general, I want to say, like, people can be really
wicked,
right? And shiesty and just, like, vindictive. And they play them games where, like, they hold the kid against you. So, you feel me? Like, and it's like, to see somebody playing around with that, it's just like, I don't know, like, I ain't here to,
right,
it ain't really in my business, but it's just like, I look at it, it's like, bro, this is corny.
Well, I think it's important that you say that too, because there's a lot of young men who look up to you that need to also hear that somebody has an opinion on it, because I feel like sometimes people, like, shy off from touching on certain topics because they don't want to, especially, like, popular and friends of celebrities or in the realm of, you know, those spaces, right? They don't want to touch on it. They don't want to talk because they, a lot of times it's saving face. Like, you don't never know when you're going to bump shoulders with such and such, so you don't want to speak on such and such. But I think it does take real men and stand-up men to give an opinion on it, so that the men that are looking up to y'all always understand that this is never okay under any circumstance. You know what I mean? So,
but that, even that is, like, it's sad because it's just, I don't want to keep saying a word with it, man. I don't want to keep complaining about the world, but it's just like the world, it's just, it's really a fucked up place. And we're going to talk about, like, just our spiritual side and just getting close to God. But it's just like, it's so messed up that the world we live in, that people, like, that somebody can just take somebody's life at will if they want to, mm-hmm. right? I say that to say, like, even with me calling out somebody, we should be able to, like, as men, I feel like it was a point where you can call somebody corny, that don't mean that you disrespect them. Or that mean, like, I can say act as corny, and that can be like,
that's my opinion.
Yeah, not even an opinion. Like, you, mm-hmm. I feel like we need more of that. Men, mm-hmm. if I do something corny, hold me accountable as a man. Tell like, yo, Jay, don't do that. That's not cool. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And me not take it offensive and want to fight you or kill you because you told me that I was being corny. Like, if anything, I should be like, yo, you know what, bro, my bad. You helped me. Had to wake me up because I was I was asleep. You feel me? I was mentally asleep.
And I think even, like, outside of killing and hurting each other, like, people are taking opportunities to air people out, like, try to, like, cyberbully them in a sense. Like, if they don't like something they said, was something common that I'm seeing on social media, is that if somebody don't like something you said or insinuated about them, they'll go consider themselves, like, airing your business out, like, finding, like, any, like,
oh, like this, oh, you, this Twitter, this you,
like, yeah, that's like, oh, to you, like, get you canceled, yeah, or, yeah, like, yeah. Little stuff that, like, messes with your money, mm-hmm. like, whatever, because you don't condone something they do or not.
Or you don't agree with them. But, yeah, speaking of, like, just the world being wicked, right, we, matter of fact, did you finish your postpartum? I ain't want to, like, cut
you
off.
Yeah, I mean, no, for the most part, like I said, like, you know, I actually forgot where we left off.
We were just talking about postpartum. Yeah. I know you were saying, like, some people go through postpartum depression, but it's actually two different things. You have postpartum, which everyone goes through.
Yep,
and then you have postpartum depression.
Yeah, and I think we were just touching base on it just to properly identify with it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm definitely big on not self-diagnosing yourself, but I'm also definitely big on getting help where you need help. You know, I think the biggest thing why a lot of people do fall into a lot of postpartum depression is lack of support, you know, or triggering support. You know, and people not really giving them the aid and the relief they need, you know, so.
We've been doing a lot of this lately, babe, and I'm not trying to make it so boring, but I got to commend you, because for the listeners, for the day ones, right, they know how far we came.
Facts.
But I definitely want to give you your kudos and your props for, like, communicating more, because you were saying, like, it's from lack of support and lack of this and that, and I'm thinking, shit, lack of communication. Mm. And we, like, not too long ago, we got in a... It was a little back and forth. It wasn't like a real argument. And you had came back like, yo, my bad. I was just flushed. I was just frustrated. I ain't eat all day. I ain't do this. And I'm like, damn, like, yo, that will get the best of anybody. You feel me? So definitely I understand. But the fact that you was able to even acknowledge that and stop and not allow that to, like, mess up the entire week. Because remember, it was a time where I'd be like, yo, get upset. And it'd be the whole week. But, like, you be like, yo, my bad.
The whole month.
So I, like,
You know, that's just some... That's just things I work on with myself. But I will say, like, in postpartum, that's hard. Because, like I said, you remember when
we
talked about, like, last episode, like, reading a room with your partner. I think that stage of postpartum, we definitely are looking for our loved ones to read the room. Mm. And I can say that, like, not necessarily from you, but I've expected it from, like, my mom and, you know, my family to read the room with me. You know what I'm saying? I just had a baby. Don't expect nothing of me. Don't expect me to host you. Don't expect me, if you want to come over, help, make a meal, do a load of laundry. You know what I mean? I just carried a baby for 40 weeks. You know, went through a week at the hospital, 3 days of labor. I count it down by the second. You know, come and show up for me because, you know, don't let me ask you, because read the room. And I feel like, and that's where I kind of told you that sometimes your loved ones just don't read the room with you. Mm. And it can cause that feeling underappreciated, not getting enough reassurance. And I think in postpartum stage is a really delicate stage, because it's, again, our hormones are balancing and are trying to rebalance out after we just groomed a baby. You know what I mean? So it's like, to expect me to communicate and overly do things for your need is not yours, but in general,
yeah, I get it.
It's kind of, I just think it's a little unfair to expect that from somebody in such a sensitive stage. That's like asking somebody, like, you know, sometimes people be mourning death, and sometimes they'll be frustrated or cry, whatever. But you can understand their mourning. You know what I'm saying? It's like, y'all, you're mourning a death. Like, I don't expect you to be understanding to me telling you things are going to be okay right now, or me telling you, like, just, you know, you got to get up and go to work. And you're like, I don't want to do that. Like, you know, I can't expect you, because you're mourning a death. It's no different than just a delicate time in somebody's life. Like, and I think people should show up for people more through that stage. That's all.
I want to ask a really, 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 really tough question.
But
And I'm trying to tread lightly with this, okay. right? Everyone grieves differently, of course.
Of course.
We had a similar conversation about being on a period. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's hard to say because I'm a man.
Right.
But I'm going to just say it straight. How do we separate or differentiate? Or how are we able to, if you could be honest with me for mm-hmm. a second, be transparent with me, how are we able to recognize or spot out when a woman is weaponizing mm-hmm. her emotions, right? Because even if it's through mm-hmm. postpartum, because like as a question. Man, like you should be able to like grieve however you grieve,
yeah, right? Right,
right. But sometimes, I feel like sometimes women can do certain things because they can manipulate a situation. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going through this postpartum mm-hmm. stage, so I can use this for my mm-hmm. benefit. I can act out. I can do this and be like, and I can yeah. blame it on postpartum. Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily mm-hmm. fair for not only the man, for the relationship though.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I agree. Like, I definitely think, like, I think that's just a spirit of discernment though, because I don't really, I will hope women aren't just out here weaponizing those, you know, those stages, even though I know that there's some women that do, you know what I'm saying? But I can't really speak to every woman. I can just only say that at the end of the day, when it comes to like period, because period is, it's a smaller, lighter version of those same hormonal dosages that we get through pregnancy, postpartum, all that, like, right. We still go through that hormonal change. That's a big change, body change through every month. I do think it is in those months, it is a woman's duty to know how to regulate your emotions and your cycle, because you get this every month. So you should know how to regulate your cycles. But I'll be honest, like, to be honest, Jay, a lot of women don't know how to emotionally manage. You know what I'm trying to say? And I think, like, there's women who are good at it, but there's still women who are learning at it. And me, somebody who's learned and still learning how to emotionally manage all my emotions, it took me a long time to do that and also vocalize my needs through that. You know what I mean? Mm. So that's not your fault. However, I do think it's just work that women do need to do a little more of. Pregnancy, though, it's really hard to control. You know what I mean? I'm just being honest. But I will say spirit of discernment, because if you already deal with an emotionally unstable woman, and I don't mean like crazy how men call it, oh, you're emotionally unstable. They use the word unstable. I mean, no, women really don't know how to manage. Some women really don't know how to manage their emotions, just like men. You were never taught. A lot of us wasn't taught as kids. We get it, you know, we cry, shut up, what you crying for? Not like, what's wrong? Let's talk about this. Tell me you have these big emotions. Let's talk about it. Like, from when we're toddlers, you get what I'm trying to say? That's how you learn to manage your emotions anyway. From when you're really, really, really little, you allow kids to have those big emotions, because we all have them. When they're frustrated, they ball their fist up, they're turning red, they're screaming, they're falling out. They're not just throwing tantrums. They're actually just having big emotions that they don't know how to manage, right? When they're not taught to manage it properly, later in life, we just become big adults that's doing the same thing. You know what I'm saying? We throwing tantrums, we mad, we breaking shit, we cussing people loud, I hate you, fuck you, da 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 da. Lack of, managing your emotions, right? So a lot of people still struggle with that, women and men, you know what I mean? Pregnancy is hard to balance because it's such a surge of hormones that are pumping through your blood. Like, if you already did poor with it, you're gonna do poor with it. You know, I think it's definitely best to get some prenatal counseling and postnatal counseling, you know what I'm saying, through that process, especially if you're in a relationship with somebody. And I think that, you know, couples, if you're already together, then you know your partner, you know how well they manage those emotions. Sometimes somebody gotta be the bigger person. Like, not to say you might want to, you may not, but like, if you're a man and you know you deal with a woman who has those issues and she becomes pregnant, you might want to take the lead and be like, yo, let's go get some prenatal counseling before we hit spots that we can't get out of, you know, et cetera. But it's not an excuse. It's not, I don't think they should ever weaponize it. I think that, again, you have to spot and be able to get help for these things. Like, it's not like a one answer fit all.
You know, I think so, dealing with it a little bit way better than even the old period emotions.
Great.
It's been, it's,
I'm screaming.
Whatever. But I think, you know how they say, like, men say, like, you gotta treat your woman like your child.
Yeah.
Like, treat her with a certain type of care. I understand that, but also I think, same way when I say I was able to love you when I was able to accept you for you.
Mm-hmm.
same way with this conversation, right? And again, I'm not trying to sound like super cliche or this guy that got it all together, but I think what helped me was when I accepted you for you.
Right.
So I knew that instead of trying to control the situation or because I didn't like it, trying to, I don't know, talk you out of being you, now I learn how to, a lot of times now, but better than before, mm-hmm. I learned how to just accept that for being you and not take it personal. Like, okay, I understand when she gets upset, when she gets flustered, she just does this, right? Or she does that. Allow her to have that moment without critiquing her or telling her what she did wrong, right? Even if I don't agree with it, just like last time, right? Because mm-hmm. you came back, I think, the same day, like, yo, I apologize, da-da-da, right? I ain't have to try to beat it down your...
Right.
Cool. You feel me? And I feel like that, some people could say take the high road or I don't know, but it's just, it's not about, that's what I want people to understand when in relationships, it ain't about you versus me or right. this person versus that person, it's about the team.
Yeah.
So you got to do whatever.
What's the angle?
Exactly. You got to do what you got to do to help the team win.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So like, if she's upset, I don't know, whatever mm-hmm. she's going through, what she's going through, let's hypothetically, she's not in her right mind.
Right.
Right. Let's look at it like that. If she's not in her right mind, but you in your right mind, you can make a decision to help both of y'all.
Right.
And I think that's how it got to go. But I just feel like a lot of times, you know, just growing up, for sure, we never was taught how to manage our emotions, right? We didn't have no balance in our life, let alone our emotions. So when something's not going our way, it's like, man, nah, you can't disrespect me like that. Because mm-hmm. da-da-da. And it's like, bro, like, it's probably not even that, yeah. directed to you. It's just the emotions. It's misdirected emotions. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You just got to learn how to cope with it. You right. get what I'm saying? Not cope with, just deal with
it. Like, I think we talked about this last episode, maybe, or two episodes ago. Like, you know, again, like, everybody's human at the mm-hmm. end of the day. And a lot of times we're first in line to our partners when we are going through...
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Especially, like, big situations, you know? We're still first in line. So sometimes it's just not going to always come off as pleasant mm-hmm. to the other person, whether we are... intentionally doing it or unintentionally. Like, I may be having a rough day and you're like, how was your day? I'm like, it was cool. I'm not mad at you, but it was annoying. Like, my answer is really just thinking about the day, like, I fucking actually hated this day. I'm answering you and it's kind of just like, damn, what did I do?
Yeah.
Like, why are you mad at me? Like, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, I'm not even mad at you. You know what I'm saying? But the way I responded isn't really ideally the way you would like me to respond in the second. So it might make you feel away. You know what I'm saying? But it happens. But like you said, instead of like two people.
Both losing.
You know what I mean? Going back and forth. Yeah. Right. Somebody has to like, you know what? You know what I'm saying? I could see that you didn't have a good day. Is there something I could do?
We were just talking about the 80-20 rule, right? Yeah. Like, it reminds me of that. Like, every... Shit, sometimes I gotta hold mine to the 80, right? I think I'm saying it right, mm-hmm. Dylan. But
he made a different, and I think a different point.
What'd you say?
It?
How you say?
Basically, like you might be with somebody that has 80% of what you mm-hmm. need, and you might honor that just for 20% somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying. Yeah. You're just saying
sometimes
time,
it might not.
It's not that, like Michelle Obama said. Marriages, relationships are not always 50-50.
Yeah.
Sometimes somebody's carrying 70% of it. Exactly. Sometimes somebody's carrying 30% of it. It will switch. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes somebody has to carry 80, 100, whatever. You know? And that's just, you know.
Nah, facts. Yo, you know what's crazy, babe? We wanted to talk about this, like, this spiritual journey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how we go into this conversation, man. Because, like, first of all, we've been going to church.
Right.
How you feel?
I feel good about it.
You feel good about it?
Yeah.
Yo, you know, it's again.
Well, we're going to a different church. So, yeah. You know, obviously. But I think that my angle is still the same on.
So let me go. Yeah.
Ahead. Okay, go ahead.
Again, I'm not trying to seem like this guy that's so taking. Funny. Like, I don't know, like, I don't want to say complaining, but like being so sorry or whatever like that. I
so
feel like,
sorry.
Nah, what's the, I don't know the word, like, I don't know the word, whatever, forget it. But, yo, I don't think people understand how hard it is to be a man.
Okay.
I say that because, like, everything, when it comes to, like, leading your family, mm-hmm. like, everything is on you. So I say to say, like, even, like, this new experience we're doing with going to church
right.
is really different. From what we're used to. Like, I mean, like, it's still Christianity, right?
Right.
But we're being introduced to some new things that we probably would never go for. You know what I'm saying? True. Like, especially our parents, right?
Oh, our parents ain't even trying to hear what the fuck we got to say.
Exactly. So like, I went first, right? And like, I kind of I came to Atlanta first. I got situated, brought the fam. Same with church. Like, I came, I went to church first, make sure everything good.
Brought the fam.
Brought the fam.
Yep.
And like, yo, and I don't want to say this because I know some believers and Christians think I'm like, I'm not a real believer, but whatever, I'm still learning. But just being honest, like, walking in by faith is so hard because at the end of the day, I think faith is knowing, if I had to be real, right? I think faith is knowing for you. And like, sometimes, I'm not going to lie, like, it's my first time saying this, like, it's like, man, I just want to make sure, I think I told you this, like, I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing, praising the right God, doing like just doing the right by the right. But it's so many different denominations, so many, it's so many different things. It's like, man, I just hope that I'm praying to the right man or the right person so we can get to. And then I say that I bring this full circle. When I say being a man is so hard, it's like now I'm bringing my, I got my woman trusting me, my daughter trusting me, my kids trusting me, and I'm having them follow me. And it's like, man, I just hope it's the right way.
I hope I'm not doing the wrong thing.
But then on top of that, right, take a peep at this. I'm a man. So it's a certain level of confidence that I should exude. Right? So I can't really express that because then I look like I'm second guessing. And now, like, my woman, like, I need my woman to trust me. And when you're not, when you don't walk in that confidence and you second guessing yourself, it's hard for a woman to trust you and for you to lead. Man,
that's a hard position to be in.
Oh my gosh,
that's true. That's
bro. I ain't even, I ain't never want to say that, but because it's like that's a different level of vulnerability that for me to, I mean, it is what it is, but yeah.
Oh, well, I'm glad you got to say that out loud.
Yeah, so how was
doing a great job?
Thanks. How was the experience that you experienced for you?
So, like I said, like, so obviously, like, you went first and you came back in. You were talking about the church a lot. You were taking a lot of notes and from your Bible studies. You were going to Bible study. You were, doing your thing with, just checking it out, going through the Bible, making sure what's what. And you continuously kept talking about it, but you continuously kept going for the knowledge.
Facts.
And I thought anybody who's eager to learn, you know what I mean? I will follow because at the end of the day, you're looking for the truth. You're looking for the answer. So whether it lands here or lands somewhere else, you're still looking for the truth, right?
I like that.
So at the end of the day, you can't go wrong with that because you're always searching for the answer.
Mm.
So when it comes to, I guess, like being uncertain about where you're going, you're always on the way because you're looking for the truth. Mm. Like, so no point intended because but
we walked into the truth, guys. Yeah.
Nonetheless, for me, like I said, I think, Jay, you've always made pretty sound decisions and that's something I could trust. We've been together for a long time. There's never really been a time where I can honestly say that you've made wrong decisions. You make mistakes like everybody else when it comes to, life. Like, we have, like, damn it, you know what I'm saying? Cool, whatever. But when it comes to, like, big decisions, you normally have always done the right thing and chosen the right path. It wasn't hard for me to go to the church and to give it a try, especially because I seen you were fully indulging in it and you liked it. You also took your time. You didn't fully, like, commit to it until you, fully was like, let me get it a try. So once you were serious and you went enough times, I was like, let me give it a try because that's something you're interested in. And I think as a partner, it's just important to try things your partner's interested in.
Mm.
Like, I think that you don't have to fully even like everything your partner like, but I think if you care about your partner and they're interested in something, you go see with them, you go check it out, or you at least go, you see how you like it. I was going to church, obviously, in Maryland as well. I had my church that I liked and my favorite pastor, whatever. So trying the church was completely new to me because they do things completely different than the church that I was used to going to. But there's nothing wrong with the church, though. Mm. Like, everybody's super welcoming. The church is very welcoming. The word and the scripture that they preach is straight from the Bible. Mm. It's not, anything alarming. You know what I mean? They just do it a different way. But so does a lot of churches.
Let me ask you that, though. Yeah. Going to this church, right, this particular church that we go to, isn't it crazy how it kind of opened our eyes to how this new society of churches are operating? And like,
for sure,
it's very much just looking at it, and I didn't pay it no mind until, I mean, I didn't really pay attention to it until I got to this church, how our church is super motivation heavy now. It's like not really, a lot of the preachers are not coming from the Bible anymore. It's a lot of things that's like motivating you, advice, like
they're like
relationship coaches almost. Yeah. It's like finance, like
and it's cool, like I like them,
it feel good. Yeah
because it's
but is it not, it's not coming from the word though.
It's not, it's less teaching of the actual Bible and more motivational speeches.
Yeah,
you get what I'm saying? And I don't know if they're doing it to get you into the church or doing it because that's what people want to hear. Some people don't want to hear Bible verses and actual study from the Bible. They rather hear it in a way where they're like, you got to get up in the morning. Let's do, you know, almost like a ICDCU college commercial. I know that was crazy to say, but wild. Like, I'm sorry, but it's like, you know, get off your ass. You got to get off the bed, get your butt in school. Like, you know what I mean? And it's almost like a, you know, I do got to do that. But in hindsight, it's taking away some of the teaching from the Bible. You know what I mean? Because teach me directly. You teach me the word, because that's what we're supposed to go to church to do. Anyway.
And what happened?
And that's not no bash to any church, because you know, you already know my favorite pastor, and I don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't play. I adore that. However, you know, I don't know what spirituality people are, but I do know that the word is
supposed to come straight from God, which is in the Bible.
Exactly.
I think, though, it's crazy because another side of it is people are getting so motivational that, you know, public speaking is a skill.
Of course. Right?
And if you think about it, like, you look at these mega churches, I think I've seen this on a podcast, but they were just saying how it's like people are putting so much work into being a great public speaker that, again, that one, they're getting away from the Bible, right? And two, that it could almost be like manipulating you to come to my church. Okay. And three, it can be a detriment to the local churches, because what happened is, your local pastor might not be as good of a speaker or as good as being able to talk that talk like a big pastor, right? Mm-hmm. And now it's like, and with this virtual world going on, now I could just watch him on TV. Right. I don't really have to come to your church because you don't really got the influence he got. You don't really got the words. You can't really say the words.
The mega churches.
Right, right. Whereas though back in the day, you had to go to that church your that was on the corner. Church. Right?
Yep. Yep.
And it's just crazy that...
It's a lot.
Yo.
It's a lot. Which is why I think it's very important that right now, if you are seeking God, you need to seek God's word. Because that's what he said.
Yo, let me ask you this then.
If that's what you're doing, like, you know, if that's what you believe, it's not like what you should or shouldn't do, but if that's what you believe.
Let me ask you this. You go, you don't like it. Do you think, hypothetically, if you go,
if I went to the church and I didn't like it,
do you think you can even date somebody who doesn't believe in the same thing you believe in? How?
So I actually thought about that multiple times.
Mm.
I was like, dang, like, what if, like, you know, because obviously I started going to church after you, and my process is still a little slower than yours because, you know, I was in a stopping. I was pregnant. Like, it was just a lot. So I didn't go as much as you. I also didn't get as many teachings as you did. And right. And obviously there's a process and you want to get baptized. It's, you know, it's a whole situation. So my process is a little slower than yours. And I was like, but what if I didn't, you know, wasn't something told me not to do it, whatever. And how would that work? So I don't fully have the answer to that yet. And I'm going to be honest with you. However, I did say that in my head, not that this was a thought of mine. I thought about it, like, how would I act or how would I react to this? I would definitely have an honest conversation about how I was feeling. But I don't know. I don't think, I feel like for one household, I don't think you can be split.
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
Yeah, like, you kind of have to, like, pick, you know what I mean? And I don't know. And honestly, like, why would you kind of want to date somebody with different beliefs than you anyway?
Mm.
Like, to be honest,
I feel like people are so shallow. Though you say it so much. Again,
like, that's,
I
like,
sound like an old head. I keep talking about social media, but like, people, like, nowadays niggas are shallow and hoes. Yeah. I'm sorry, we talking about God.
I'm
but
screaming.
He
knows your heart.
Yeah, he know my heart. Like, these people are shallow. What happened is a nigga see a little fine little ting. You know what I'm saying? Fat butt, nice joint. She got. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, man, I'm a rock with her. Whole time you get with her, she a bum. She don't got nothing going on. She atheist and all this. And you like, you know what? Man, I could work with the Lord.
I could deal with an atheist.
You niggas is retarded. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, so,
I could never deal with no atheist. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I just don't think it works. Like, and because it comes down to other things. Like, okay, eventually you say you guys have children.
Mm.
How are we going to raise the kids? Like, honestly, like, are we going to be... What are we going to do with, like, are we celebrating this? That's why, you know.
That was a big part of
it. Yeah, like, you know, like when Muslims marry, like Christians marry Muslims, and now they, like, now they splitting the kids, having Christmas night. It's a lot. It's a lot. Like, I think parenting and religious beliefs have to align in households. Like, you guys have to agree on a parenting style. Not you guys, but us as a whole. Agree on parenting style and agree on religious beliefs and finances.
Finances, for sure.
So I think those three are things that kind of have to align in anyone's household for it to fully work to some capacity. Because if we have all these different views of what you think you should do with the money, I think we should do with the money, what you should do with the kids, I should do with the kids, what you should do. The house is divided. It's divided.
Facts. Somebody asked me not too long ago, like, yo, if what if you wanted to do something, or I don't know, allow Amaya to do something, but Sade didn't. Something like that. Like,
well, there's going to be disagreements on certain things, but I think overall parenting styles. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm trying to align to some degree. So, like, for example, I don't really beat my kids. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Not that I haven't popped Amaya ass, like, when she was little. Like, when she was
smiling. But me, on the other hand, I be trying.
Yeah, right. But say you agreed on beating kids and I didn't. I think that's important. We have to agree, like, what type of parenting style we doing.
No, facts.
You know what I'm trying to say? Because, like, if I'm not beating Alani and every time I turn around she doing something, you beating her, she's gonna be confused.
Definitely.
So I think something like that has to be, like, something like that. But I'm not talking about, like, if you think she should go to the homecoming dance and I don't. I think that's something we could talk about. Like, why you think she should go? All right, what if we let her go and pick her up at 9:30? I think that's a compromisable situation. But when it comes to what's that, like, I don't know, like, even like whether it's beating kids or, you know, just disciplining them in general. Like, I should not beating. I'm sorry. You know, clearly I'm traumatized because I got my ass whooped. But I mean, like, just discipline in general. Like, because, you know, like, even when we've had conversations about Amaya, you know, like, you know me, I'm a talker. Like, I want to talk her through it. Like, what position, like, why, what, where, let's talk about it. You know what I mean? So, and we've talked about, like, how we view and, you know, communicate with, you know, Amaya. So stuff like that. But no, not facts. Like certain things can be compromised or talked about. Like, I'm like, you might tell me this is why you don't want her to go. I'm like, all right, but that's fair. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, stuff like that. So
no, you're right. Cause even like, just going back to the church thing, coming back saying, yo, I mean, I ain't say we not celebrating.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean,
yeah, cause with the church, there's certain holidays we wouldn't be.
But it makes sense. Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean,
yeah, I feel like, you know, it's definitely a topic for, we would have to break down. And I feel like I do want to say that if anybody wants a little more insight on the...
Yo, come rock with us. Yeah, come study, bro.
You can check it out. And I think that's a fair way, without saying too much, but saying too much. If you really, if you're watching this and you want to know a little deeper, because some people get curious, like, well, what is it? Because, you know, a lot of times, like, people are still battling what they should believe in, what they shouldn't believe in, which way they should go. And they still believe in God. Because I've always believed in God.
Yeah, we still believe in God. We believe in Jesus.
Like, I don't play about that.
For sure. It's Christianity, for sure.
I did struggle, though, with ways that I viewed certain things, though. Like, because it was due to the different churches I've been to.
Right.
You know.
But even like, just our generation in general, and I spoke about this before, I feel like a lot of times we use this I'm spiritual thing as a scapegoat or as a
excuse.
But
do you believe in God?
Right. Like, it's like I'm not really religious. I'm spiritual. That's because it's convenient to you. Because what happened is everything, right? Like, when we talk about Christianity or anything that you're a part of, has rules and boundaries, right? So when you say, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual, that's your way to snake out of what you should and shouldn't be
whatever
doing. Because now
rules
it's like,
you're supposed to follow according to whatever principles you follow.
Exactly. So, people be Muslim, like, but you know, I'm like, I'm really religious, I'm spiritual, so I can eat bacon for real. Or
I'm screaming.
I just, like, that's people only do it when it's convenient. And I was one of them once. So let's not get it twisted. Like,
you Muslims, I want to talk to y'all, because there's something about y'all that don't sit right with some of me about you, some of y'all Muslims.
Some of you not.
Yeah, y'all gotta pull y'all sisters and brothers together.
But yeah, facts. I was one of them people too. Like, I'm getting more
but
spiritual.
But, you know, I don't want to discredit, because, you know, being spiritual, it has practices too, depending on
what practices?
Well, depending on what sides of the spirit you believe in. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, ancestors.
That's the devil.
Yeah, it is. But that's my point. That's why you have to be sure of which one you know, because spirituality is a range. And it ain't, it's light and it's dark to it. You get what I'm trying to say? So it's up to you. And I think you should be sure of what you're practicing and what you
spirituality, you praying to ghost and motherfucking, you, the that's spirits. The,
you know, I don't do that. That's the, you know, but my point is, that's my point. Nah. Whatever you saying you spiritual, I'm spiritual to, you need to still be following what you're spiritual to. Facts. And those same, you know, rules or not rules or, you know, what Bible is, commandments. It's something that, you know, depending on what you, you know, you're praising to, that you follow.
Yeah. Nah, yo, for real though, like, we definitely outside. We inside. We in the church with it.
Yeah.
Yo, come. We could do, yeah, we could know, do virtual just, studies too.
Yeah.
Come
if you want to pick a little brain, you want to figure it out, it's lit.
And that's for everybody. Even everybody in the room. Yeah. Serious, for real.
Like, it's good word. Like, that's what I said. What I will say, what I love about the church is, I really, it's all Bible. It's all Bible. It's not, sure. It's not a lot. It's no motivational if you're looking for pep talk.
Sometimes I'll be going, I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
I might sound ignorant, but.
Nah, it's
sometimes I miss normal. The old. Like, they be getting into it. They, yeah. Some preachers really get in that bag.
Yeah, I love, it's a couple preachers to this day.
They get in that bag.
But when it comes down to it, I think the older I get and the yearn to want my family and my household to
God
be
said.
Protected, right. I want to know what God said.
Facts. And they definitely,
directly.
And this, like, church is definitely talking about this what God said.
And what he said to do.
Yeah, it ain't no ifs, ands. It ain't no their assumptions. There, it's strictly out the Bible. Go to Old Testament, New Testament, NIV. Literally, like, then that's dope. So,
and
like,
I think that's dope. Yep. Yeah. I'm proud of us, you know, because we are, like I said, we not young, but we not old, you know what I'm saying? We definitely dig heavy in just trying to do the right things, you know, especially for our family and being right with God, you know what I'm saying, to protect our family completely. So I think that's phenomenal.
I think that's a great way to end episode, 81.
Okay.
80. Episode what? 80.
This is 81.
This is 81. Ah, wow, come on,
that's,
man.
Crazy.
yo, if you want to come study with us, man, hit us up.
Yes, sir.
Make sure you subscribe. Hit that notification bell.
Ring that bell.
Ring that bell so you can know when we drop in every single week. Yo, we 3 episodes in, bae.
3 episodes.
Congratulations for being 3 weeks consistent.
Thank you.
Gang.
Thank you.
Yo.
I'm tired.
Tell them where to follow you and everything.
She.Sade. Follow me. Yeah. Go. Leave 5-star ratings on the audio on Spotify and Apple.
Yeah, gang. Yeah. Go to that. Yo, listen. Go to that Apple Podcast, that Spotify, wherever you listen to your audio. Listen, this. You know them YouTube people? This is way more important than the YouTube. Subscribe, for sure. Subscribe. You know what I'm saying? But
go leave a rating.
Go to the audio. Leave a rating. Listen on audio. Listen on audio. Listen on audio. Listen on audio.
We thank you.
Follow me at Mr_J Hill, MR_JAY. Gemini Scorpio Podcast, episode 81. Yo, we got more merch on the way, too.
More merch on the way.
More merch is on the way, all right?